Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
We welcome you to today's broadcast. We are so very glad that you've decided to join us for this time of Bible study. We encourage you to take your Bible and prepare to study along with us. We began a study last week of Jesus the Christ, and we're trying to study chronologically as much as possible. We began with the fact that Jesus existed before his birth on this earth, that in fact the Bible teaches he had no beginning, that one of the attributes of God is eternality, and that he possesses that, that he has existed from all time and will always exist. Today we turn our attention to the fact that Jesus did live on this earth for a period of time, and that his earthly sojourn, his physical life, did have a beginning. That beginning was a birth. Now, this shouldn't be unusual for you and I both had a beginning, and our time on this earth began with our birth. However, the birth of Christ was an extraordinary birth. The Bible teaches us that it was unlike any other. For he was born of woman, but not of man. He was born of the seed of woman, but not of the seed of man. He had a father who begot him, but it was not an earthly father. Rather, we see the Bible describing Jesus as being the Son of God, that Mary, his mother, was a virgin when he was born. This, of course, is an extraordinary claim. Now, many deny this. Many do not believe the Bible record at all. I think one of the reasons for that is because there is so much that man teaches regarding this virgin birth of Christ that is false, and they mix it in with the truth that the Bible gives us, and therefore people see the false things and do not believe the truth. For example, every year around December the 25th, men get together to honor the birth of Christ as some kind of a religious holy day, yet the Bible never authorizes such. In doing so, they usually show us three wise men, when the Bible does not number the wise men, together with the shepherds at the manger with a star shining over the Christ child. However, the Bible teaches us that the arrival of the wise men and the arrival of the shepherds was separated by a period of time. We don't know exactly how long, but by the time the wise men arrived, they found the Christ child not in a manger, but in a house. This record is found in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 9 and reading down through verse 11. Because of these false things mixed in with the truth that Jesus was born of a virgin, there are many who see these false items and then reject the entirety. We should not do such. Rather, we should examine the Bible record and take the truth that it teaches and reject the false things that man includes. Man, in the Roman Catholic Church, has also developed a doctrine of perpetual virginity for the Virgin Mary, that she was a virgin when Jesus was born, but that she remained a virgin throughout her entire life. Well, the Bible, of course, does not teach this. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 25, it says, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife," this being Mary, "and did not know her till she brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus." This means that she conceived without entering any kind of a sexual union with any man, and that not only did she conceive, but she gave birth before she had entered a sexual union with any man. But notice after that, then he did take her as his wife, and they enjoyed the normal sexual relationship that man and wife enjoy, and they had other children. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 55, says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us?" You see, Mary had other children. In fact, we have here at least five mentioned, for there are plural sisters, and there are three brothers who are given by name. Did Mary remain a virgin throughout her entire life? No, that's not the truth at all. That's one of the false ideas that man has taught. By doing so, we often cloud the issue of the truth. The Bible does teach that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. Not that she was perpetually a virgin, but that she was at the birth of Christ. That is the truth that the Bible presents. Why does man need to add false ideas to that? Now, the Bible affirmed this virgin birth all the way back in the prophets. In Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, God, through the prophet Isaiah, says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This prophecy is referenced in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, when Jesus is in fact given the name Emmanuel, God with us. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, Mary is told that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And just so there is no misunderstanding as to what the word virgin means, we're told beginning in verse 34 that the angel said, that Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One that is born of you shall be called the Son of God." We understand from this that Mary had no physical relations, sexual relations with a man, but rather that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed her. Now, can we explain the actual mechanism by which that takes place? Certainly not. It is not a natural thing, and because of that, many reject it. In fact, I guess that's probably the greatest objection that is raised. Someone looks at the Bible account of the virgin birth of Christ, and they say, well, that's not normal. That's not natural. That's not the way it's done. And the answer to that is, you're absolutely right. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's not the way it is normally done. It is supernatural. It is beyond the natural law of things. It is a miracle from God, one of many that is recorded in the Bible. Because of this, we understand that Jesus was born to Mary. He did take on the lineage of his father in some senses, but it's very interesting to me that in giving the genealogies of Christ, the Bible writers are very careful to be sure it's very clear to us that he was not born to Joseph being his physical father. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in about verse 15, we see the genealogy of Jesus given, one of them. And in verse 16, it says that Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You notice it did not say that Jesus was born of Joseph, but rather that Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, we read, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about age 30, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Hiel. We understand from this that Jesus was the son of Joseph only in a supposed sense. That there would be people who would see him and see him growing up in the household of Mary and Joseph and would attribute his fatherhood to Joseph, but that did not make it so. Rather, we see him as the one born to Mary, begotten of the Holy Spirit, overshadowing her, and not a sexual union with a man. The Bible teaches this from the times of the prophets and proved it by going back to those prophecies when it happened. To show it. Now, why is this so important? Why would it be necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin? Why can we not simply say that Jesus was born and leave it at that and not point out the fact that he was born of a virgin? The answer is a very simple one. Number one, the Bible claims that he was born of a virgin. Now, had it not made that claim, it would not be necessary for us to know it or to prove it. But once the Bible claims something, it is absolutely necessary that it be proven true. For if the Bible lies in any one point, it cannot be trusted in the others. So since the Bible claims it, it is necessary that we examine and come to the conclusion that the Bible either taught the truth or did not. And of course, the evidence indicates that the Bible did teach the truth. Also, this shows us the dual nature of the Christ. That he, as he walked on this earth, was 100% human. He became thirsty and hungry. He became tired. He needed to have friends around him at times, and at other times he needed some solitude. He was human. He had all of the weaknesses that you and I have. He was subject to all of the temptations that you and I are subject to. Yet he endured those temptations without sin, according to the Hebrews writer. Yet at the same time that he was human, he was God. Not half God, not part God, not a lesser God, but rather he was God. John chapter 3 and verse 16 shows us that Jesus came as the only begotten of the Father. You and I can be children of the Father. We can be children of the Father in a spiritual sense, his children by adoption, when we are obedient to his will. However, Jesus was his child in a very special way, for he was begotten by that overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. It's because of this that Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 9, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Our salvation depends on the fact that Jesus is both man and God as he walked the earth. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. If the one who went to the cross about 2,000 years ago, the one who died for me, was not fully man and fully God, then he does not fit the Bible pattern for the one who will come to save me from my sins. Therefore, I must still be in my sins. We ought to believe what the Bible teaches. We ought to shamelessly affirm that Jesus the Christ was conceived and born of a virgin. Therefore, he is not just a human being. He is unique. He is 100% God. And while he walked this earth, he was also 100% man. He lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and was raised in triumph over death on the third day. We can put our confidence in him and in Jehovah God who sent him and who exalted him and who raised him from the dead. He was born of a virgin that you and I might be born again, that we might come to God in obedience.